Hello, my name is Paul Etanon, and I am an undergraduate tutor within the Department of Management at LSE and a member of Embrace, LSE's Black and Global Majority Staff Network. Embrace was created to build and foster a diverse community of cultural exchange across LSE. Since its inception, the network has grown in its advocacy for issues advancing race equity for students, academics, and staff. Embrace the Journey is a four-episode podcast series taking a look at Embrace's history over the years, speaking with the leaders who have shaped the network since it was founded. In this episode, we sat down with Yvonne Olashoga, Tash Darling, and Charles Ebikemi, the current co-chairs of Embrace, steering the organisation in a new direction following some tumultuous years across the globe.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on when you're listening to this. My name is Kojo Apierje and I'm the host of the Embrace the Journey podcast series. Today, I am delighted to be bringing in the final episode of this series by welcoming the three phenomenal leaders of Embrace, the current co-chairs, Yvonne Olashoga, Charles Ebikemi, and Tash Darling. I'm going to hand over to the three co-chairs to introduce themselves and we can get into this discussion on how they are leading the network into the future following some tumultuous years. Charles, I'll hand over to you. Please introduce yourself and tell us about who you are.
Thanks for having me. Yes, my name is Charles Ebikemi. I am a writer and academic at LSE. I'm a policy officer working in the Department of Health Policy and mainly working on the African Health Observatory. I'm also one of the co-chairs, one of the fantastic co-chairs of LSE Embrace, and I'm happy to be in that role now.
Tash, do you want to take it away?
Yeah, sure. Hi, I'm Tash Darling. I'm currently the Postgraduate Program Manager in Health Policy, so same department as Charles, which is nice. I do get to see him when he does come into the office. And I'm currently on secondment actually from the Department of Management, so I'm in this department for the next year, and I'm enjoying it so far. So, and I'm one of the co-chairs, of course, of Embrace as well, so lovely to be here.
And Yvonne.
Hi, thanks for having me. My name is Yvonne Olashoga and I work in the LSE Library where I manage projects and business improvement processes. I'm one of the co-chairs as well with Tash and Charles, and I'm excited to do this podcast. I just wanted to say a little bit about me that people don't really know, that I studied biochemistry in university, but I didn't follow that professional path. I started working out as a customer service administrator. Then I went into project management and have spent most of my career within the educational sector, working across a suite of different roles. I think maybe it's time for a change for me. But yeah, I just wanted to throw that in.
Brilliant. Thank you, everyone. And thank you, Tash and Charles, for the intro. Okay, so following off from a tumultuous past couple of years, I want to kick off by asking, what do you think the LSE Embrace community needs for the future? And either of you or all of you can answer any question, but I'm going to direct this at Yvonne if you want to feed into that.
Okay. Over the past few years, Embrace have continued to grow in numbers. And I think that for the community to continue to expand, we need support from the school in helping us to remove barriers that inhibit opportunities for the development and personal growth of ethnic minority staff and students. The school also needs to ensure that we continue to expand the scope and reach of our existing BAME talent processes. For example, we have the BAME mentoring scheme currently in place. So we need to ensure that the scheme is working well in developing skills and confidence in BAME staff at all levels. And also I believe that for us to continue to grow, we need to create an interesting and challenging environment and contribute to expanding the reach and impact of the staff network by focusing on partnership with other departments, staff networks, connecting with other education organizations and individuals through events across the UK. So I think just a few of those, you know, would help Embrace, you know, focus and continue to, you know, grow in numbers and, you know, meet our objectives.
I can add to that. I think in addition to what Yvonne said, I think for me, the future of Embrace, I can probably sum up in one word, which is sort of solidarity. And I don't know about you, but I think Embrace for me was sort of a safe space during the past few years, not just sort of starting new at LSC or the pandemic and everything, but it was a nice space. It was a nice space to connect with other people, to discuss, to laugh, to hear about everyone else's thoughts and reflections and what everyone else is doing. So I really enjoyed that and I really appreciated that. And that's something I would like to see more of in the future.
Mirroring what Yvonne and Charles have said, definitely solidarity and just more of a community feel across campus. Now we're sort of heading back, hopefully, into some sense of normality. It will be nice to, you know, see each other more on campus, feel the sort of embrace unity on campus as well, and also support work-life balance. We've worked very hard over the last few years, all of us have, and it'll be nice to sort of celebrate the hard work, and especially since a lot of the BAME members of staff do work in the lower bands who have worked on campus throughout the last 2 years of COVID. It'll be nice to celebrate, embrace the community as a whole, and also try to have fun whilst we're at work as well.
Thank you. I do really like the notes all of you touched upon, especially the idea of celebration and fun. I think as a member during those tumultuous years I referred to, it was a lot of intense work. And I think it's really important about fostering solidarity, fostering community, and also just, again, just having fun and balancing work and life. What do you feel you each bring to the role of co-chair for LSE Embrace? Charles, can I direct that at you? And then Tash, Yvonne, if you want to feed in as well.
Yeah, that's a good question. I have no idea what I bring. You'll have to ask the other two co-chairs. But I can say, I think we all bring different sensibilities to the role. But I know I appreciate Yvonne and Tash, what they bring to the role. I think you couldn't literally ask for better people as other co-chairs on this. And I learn from them quite often, and they are constantly on it. So it's a fantastic sort of co-chairing experience. And I think the community is very, very lucky.
I think we all have unique styles, knowledge, and very different strengths. I know that when I became co-chair with Charles and Tash, I was like, okay, yes, this is a great team. We're going to do a lot of work. They had fantastic and brilliant ideas, and I was so excited to work with them. But I always ask myself, what do I actually want to stand for and what is important to me? And, you know, a few things have stood out for me. And that is, one, taking the opportunity to really challenge things and, you know, add value with my own voice, especially at LSD. It can be a bit daunting, you know, when you're speaking to senior management or stakeholders trying to put your points across or trying to start a new initiative. You know, you have to be really, really focused and, you know, own your own voice. Another thing is working with the Embrace Network, who I respect in terms of not just what they've done so far, their outputs, but also who I feel they've, you know, they role modeled the values that are key to being an inclusive community. And then the last one is being able to support and drive change for underrepresented communities. I think this is one of the big things we've talked about as, you know, co-chairs that we want to really do this year. I also recognize that because we don't have significant representation of Black individuals involved in senior leadership roles across the school, we are role models to some people in the organization. And I know that this comes with a duty of care and responsibility to use my voice and our voices collectively to champion change. So yes, that's what I feel I would bring, and obviously with support from the co-chair and the community as a whole to Embrace.
For me personally, I was very excited when I found out Charles and Yvonne were going to be my co-chairs alongside me, myself. I feel like Yvonne's very confident, and it comes across in the way she speaks and composes herself. And Charles, you're very mellow and level-headed. It's always a pleasure to have a chat with you. I feel very relaxed after I've spoken to you, Charles. So I think both of them are amazing individuals, and I've definitely enjoyed working with them so far. Myself personally, I think I'm good at starting a project and getting it done. So I've been part of two large initiatives at LSE so far. I was the principal project manager on the BAME mentoring scheme, so designing it, starting it, creating the working group, how it will run, having the mentoring circles, and sort of trying to move it forward when I was part of the HR team. As well as the fair recruitment advisors role as well. So sort of supporting and creating the booklets, the website, sign-ups, questionnaires, things like that. And it's amazing that the school has these initiatives, but I'm definitely keeping an eye on how they're going along with Charles and Yvonne, because it's important that the school recognise that although they have ticked these boxes, we actually do need to make sure that they work and they're in place, because they are in place for a reason. And similar to Yvonne, definitely a big advocate of supporting staff, not necessarily the staff that are aimed in terms of the fair recruitment advisors, so band 7 and above, but also supporting BAME staff members in the lower bands. So how can we support them, support retention in staff, just general support, work-life balance, and also what do we have to offer? So we have more than enough money to offer apprenticeships across the board. Can more staff go on apprenticeships? Do they know about apprenticeships? How do we reach out to those individuals that are quite hard to reach in general? So I think just being involved in a lot of initiatives and projects, also seeing them through and supporting other co-chairs in doing so as well, I think it's one of my, is what I bring to Embrace, really.
Brilliant, thank you. Tash, sticking with you for this question, and then Yvonne, Charles, if you want to also respond. What do you think will be the biggest challenge to, or what do you think the biggest challenge Embrace will face under your leadership is? I think I hesitate to, you know, forecast sunshine and rainbows ahead for the UK and the planet. But assuming, you know, that the worst of the pandemic is behind us, what broadly, what do you think the biggest challenge you'll face whilst co-chairing Embrace will be?
I think for me personally, it's getting back, just having that community feel again. I think everyone's got so used to sort of just coming into work, getting on with it and going home and just having like doing that on repeat constantly. And yes, we might see each other here and there on campus and say hello, but actually it'll be nice to have more events on campus. It'll be nice to hold events, do something a lot bigger for Black History Month. Just get people more involved on campus and be able to sort of see each other and spend time together as a community. And I think it's just sort of getting people out of that mindset of, you know, I'm here to work, and I'm you know, once I'm done, I'm ready to go home. It's how do you sort of get people more involved, sort of get people more enthusiastic and sort of ready to get back into that community aspect and community feel. So I think that would be a challenge, but I mean, we've got a lot of plans in the woodworks, plans ahead. So I'm looking forward to the next year, but I'm sure Yvonne and Charles will have other challenges or similar challenges that they may feel like we'll face over the next year or so.
Okay, I think that change comes with challenge, and for change in any organization, you must take people along the journey with you in understanding that diversity benefits everybody, not just the underrepresented groups. One of our key strategic objectives at Embrace this year, we've talked about this quite a lot, is to focus on the underrepresented colleagues. So we're talking about the cleaners, the porters, the security guys, you know, people that do the heavy lifting, people on ground, you know, people that a lot of us do not see, but they get the job done. We want to make sure that our policies and procedures are free from discrimination. This isn't just an objective of the EDI team, but all of our colleagues should also contribute towards this too. This ensures that everybody takes accountability for driving change. So broadly speaking, it's just about making sure that we continue to create that equality of opportunity, especially from senior management through to those on ground doing the heavy lifting. I know that we've talked about this quite a lot, Charles and Tash, and this is one of the key things I think we are focusing on this year. We also need to look at how we shift and change the narrative on diversity and inclusion, making sure that we continue to strive to provide equal access to opportunities for all the individuals across LSD. The school needs to be bold in both their commitments and their actions to drive through real change. It's one thing saying, oh, we'll do this, or ticking you know, a box just to fulfill all righteousness, but need to follow through and actually, you know, accomplish what they've set out to do. So I think that one of the biggest challenges of Embrace, first of all, we need to overcome that barrier, especially for, you know, all those that are underrepresented and don't have a voice. We are Embrace, and we need to give them that voice.
I completely agree with that. And just to follow on to what Yvonne said, in driving change for those underrepresented communities, and I think there's still a lot of work to be done at every level. BAME staff at LSE are underrepresented. They're underrepresented at higher bands, while at the same time sort of overrepresented low end bands, yet with little or no voice. And I think Embrace, we have that responsibility to be that voice. And it's up to us, the co-chairs, the community, and all to drive that wider accountability, as Yvonne said, among everyone in LSE. So what is it that we want to say? What do we want to advocate for? And what does change look like for our community? And I think we can, in terms of sort of the school and LSE, evaluate that with sort of metrics, surveys, programs. But at the end of the day, it's our community that will let us know if the challenge is won or not.
Thank you. Those are really thoughtful responses. I want to stick with the idea, well, not stick with the idea, but jumping off from the point of underrepresentation of BAME staff, particularly at higher bands of LSE. I think you've all touched upon in various ways throughout this discussion. But just using that as a, again, as a jumping off point, what do you think LSE needs to do to advance race equity or to continue advancing race equity? I'll direct that at Yvonne and then maybe Tash, then Charles, if you want to respond in that order.
Okay. The first thing is that people need to acknowledge it. He exists. He has existed and persisted for a long time. So, you know, the issue surrounding diversity and equity, it cannot be solved overnight, but it doesn't mean that there are challenges to be feared or avoided. We cannot afford to let the fear of tackling these issues stop us from challenging them altogether. But I think one of the big things is, you know, how it is where people are talking about race or anything that do with race issues, there's always that fear that, oh, can I say this? If I speak out, how am I going to be judged? But, you know, that shouldn't be the case. LSE needs to treat inclusion the same way as any other business imperative. So they need to set out actions, objectives, and make sure that they create clear accountability. And then they move forward at a pace to achieve these objectives, making it clear and transparent, as well as communicating this effectively to the community. Also having a diversity of staff and student body, we need to make sure that there are programs that aim at supporting students from diverse backgrounds, as well as taking steps to hire academic staff from different races. I know that Charles, you know, will be able to talk about this a lot more, but also working closely with our EDI team, we need to continuously tackle and combat racism among staff and students. And we need to encourage a culture of reporting and responding to racist incidents. I know that the school has a lot of, you know, mechanisms in place, you know, to support this, but they need to ensure that these, you know, staff are encouraged to report it and not feel that if they report it, you know, they'll be told off or something will happen to them. That culture needs, you know, be encouraged among staff. We as individuals as well, we also need to take responsibility. We need to challenge our own biases. Every one of us at LSE, we need to reflect and ask ourselves, what role am I playing in aiding or allowing inequity and non-inclusion? I know that the school has a lot of training courses, but are managers, that all managers attending this, is it part of their objectives? You know, is it being reviewed regularly? Anybody at LSE who leads a team, they need to hold an extra responsibility. They need to role model. They need to put in action, just not words, because they're building and developing diverse teams while creating an inclusive team culture. So I think those are some of the things LSE needs to address in order to advance race equity. Thank you. And I'll pass that on to, I believe, Tash?
Yeah, sure. I think LSE has started a few initiatives over the last few years that are moving in the right direction. For example, like I said previously, the Fair Recruitment Advisors and BAME Mentoring Scheme. However, echoing what Yvonne has said, we don't want it to become a tick box exercise for the school. We want it to be something that is in place for BAME staff, that can support BAME staff, make them feel comfortable across the school. We set up the BAME Mentoring Scheme to have one-to-one sessions with a senior member of staff to support individuals to feel like they can go for higher roles, like they can sort of take control of their day-to-day life and working life, really, and also set up the BAME mentoring circles alongside that. So BAME staff members can meet other staff members across the school, get to know each other, discuss any problems or issues, and try to tackle it together, really, that most of the time someone else has gone through something that you have or that you're going through already. So having a sense of, actually, I'm not alone in this, can make you feel more comfortable in the workplace. And also just knowing people across campus, having a friendly face in other departments, divisions that you know and can say hello to, can make you feel more comfortable alone. I think over the next few months, of course, we want the Embrace community to have fun, but also, as Vaughn was saying, we've got a lot of, there are many issues that we need to tackle. Similar to Vaughn, we also want our colleagues to feel comfortable to disclose anything that they need to, whether it be to a line manager or safe contact, and make sure that they know what services are available to them. If they view sort of microaggressions in any way, shape or form, see unconscious bias, they should feel comfortable enough to report it or tell someone about it. They should feel that they have a safe space. For example, the mentoring circles, the BAME mentoring circles, that they can talk to someone else about it, see what can be done. And if anything, it's sometimes a problem shared is just a problem halved. Thank you.
So what does LSE need to do to advance race equity? I think it's a simple thing about simply listening. These things are complex, but they're not complicated. Some of the issues around race equity are not rocket science. I think there are solutions out there. I think we've heard a lot of initiatives spearheaded by people in Embrace on the committee. And I think we only need to do a little bit better sort of listening and implementing. And as Yvonne alluded to, it is hard work. It is challenging. It's a little bit like breaking concrete. Once concrete sets, it's incredibly difficult to change those cultures. And those cultures are ingrained, but it's not impossible. How do we break that concrete and set new concrete with different attitudes, different ways of working, different sensibilities, different goals and ambitions and missions? And I think that really comes from leadership, but also from trying to revolutionize the way we do business, because we have a better view of what we want the world to look like. And Yvonne mentioned about sort of BAME academic staff at higher bands. And I think that's something that's very important, because I think the academic career path is quite challenging, quite difficult. And there's a certain expectation of what good looks like in academia, what counts as a good publication to publish your research in. If an academic spends more time in public engagement, does that count as scholarly output? Does working outside your disciplinary silos count as well? So I think there are many things around that to not only break those attitudes, but also allow different types of attitudes to become mainstream and non-siloed. And that will not only help BAME members of academia, but also help the scientific, the social science endeavor at the end of it. So yeah, completely agree with what my co-chairs have said.
So I'm going to begin to round off with one final question for you all. Looking towards, again, the rosier side of life, you're faced with really challenging work, but I hope it's all, from the sounds of it, it all sounds incredibly fulfilling at the same time. What most excites you about your work with Embrace? Like, what really gives you that sense of, you know, that positive sense of drive outside of the, again, the like kind of passion and advocacy side of things? Or what really excites you about working as a coach of Embrace?
Yes, I think obviously working with Charles and Tash have been incredible the past few months. I know that we're thrown in and we're like, oh my God, this is a lot of work. But I think we've started to get to grasp, you know, everything we need to do. But working in Embrace, I'm so excited. I've got to meet a lot of people, senior managers, you know, just the support from the community and the space that Embrace provides, you know, is a safe space. I've had people come up to me, you know, share personal stories only because they've seen me say, oh, I'm the co-chair of Embrace. And you know, I just love that feeling of being able to connect with people across the school. Embrace, that's what we stand for, you know, creating that avenue, that environment. for people to come and talk to us. And I know that with Charles and Tash, working with them has been fulfilling. And I know that we have a lot of great ideas and things, you know, to come in the future.
I think for me, there's a little bit sort of before I became co-chair of Embrace is, I think Tash has mentioned already, the BAME mentoring scheme. So I took part in that as well. And it was an extremely rewarding experience because it sort of makes you feel you're not alone. You're there mutually trying to help people going through similar experiences at LSE. And there is a sense of camaraderie which is built up through that experience. So that program was extremely useful. And I think that's something you can't really capture on any sort of impact sheet. And ever since becoming co-chair, obviously to work with Yvonne and Tash, I should just say that they remember everything and know everyone. And that's an extremely, these are sort of leadership skills you can't really teach. So it's really, I'm still learning to try and pick out names from email addresses, but it's extremely useful and it's extremely, it makes you feel sort of warm and sort of welcomed and sort of inclusive. And again, these are sort of leadership skills you can't really, no one teaches you that at management college or whatever.
I'm very much the same as Yvonne and Charles. Working with the both of them over the last few months has honestly been amazing. They're very fun, caring, compassionate, driven, understanding. Like, I couldn't have picked two better co-chairs myself. So I really enjoyed working with them. And I enjoy looking forward to the next few months and like the next year working with them, sort of looking forward to what we'll achieve in that time. And looking back, like Yvonne said, sort of when we first started as co-chairs, thinking, oh gosh, this is a lot of work, but actually we should sort of have a mini review session between us just to see what we've achieved over the next year. But I think for me, it's just making the change and seeing change as well. Like, we have the power to make change. I think that's so empowering. Like the BAME mentoring scheme, it was sort of a working group of BAME staff members, and BAME staff members took out like time out of their day to be part of the scheme, to be part of the program, to support others. And it wouldn't have worked without sort of people sort of being compassionate and thinking about others. Same with the Fair Recruitment Advisors. It's people going out of their way to do training, to take time out to support other members of staff or future members of staff. So I think just seeing the change that we're making and how we're empowering others has just been incredible. And I'm definitely looking forward to that. Just seeing more of that over the next few months, seeing more people sort of take responsibility, feel empowered, just to go out and get it, really. Like, that's really it, isn't it? So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. But yeah, thank you, Yvonne and Charles. It's been lovely so far. So I can only imagine the next year. So
brilliant. I will say, yeah, just as a point of rounding up, the Bay mentoring scheme was phenomenal. And as you were discussing it, I began to think back on my own experiences as part of the BAME mentoring scheme and how that genuinely changed my life for the better. It was such a formative process. And I think, Tash, what you did with that and then broadly embracing and supporting and helping was just, it was a phenomenal piece of work. I'm really, Charles, as you mentioned, it just brought those emotions back for me. So it just, again, reminded of how amazing and important the work that Embrace does is. Generally so. So thank you for again your time, the time you put into that. Just like to thank you three for your time today, and your work leading this network. Embrace is in incredibly safe hands between all six safe hands as co-chairs, and I think you have a brilliant balance of focusing on advocacy and support and knowing how that important that is to change sort of structural elements to improve diversity and advance race equity across the school. But you also balance that with a commitment to unity and fun. And that has come across in this podcast. And I hope, you know, something you will continue to embody as you move forward as co-chairs. So thank you for your time. And then, yeah, I'll look forward to following your work as you continue.
Thank you, Kojo.
Kojo.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
On behalf of LSE's Embrace Committee, we would like to thank you for tuning into this series on Embrace's spectacular history. We hope you found it as fascinating to listen to and learn from as we did. This podcast would not have been produced without the help of generous current and former LSE staff. We would like to send thanks in particular to podcast producer Kojo Apiegi, podcast project manager Adeola Akande-Pierre-Noël, and podcast coordinator Paul Atanon. We would also like to send a special thanks to Embrace sponsor Andrew Young, LSE's EDI team for funding this series, LSE Communications for their support and guidance, and the Embrace Committee for all they do. Please do follow Embrace on Twitter and Instagram at LSE Embrace, and subscribe to our monthly newsletter for updates from the network.